Well, once again, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good whenever you are listening to this. This is Pastor David speaking to you, and thank you, any and all of you who are listening in. Today, we want to continue to talk about the subject of peace, as we have been over the last few Wednesdays together. And let me remind you that the need for peace in our souls is not just needed in the midst of a pandemic and all of its effects. It's needed on a regular basis. In other words, there were a lot of people, including a lot of Christians, who needed peace before this pandemic, and there will be many who will need it after it is past and gone. Now, we have noted that there is not just one magic truth or idea that gives us peace either. I've used the analogy that a tuba doesn't make an orchestra, and neither does a single oboe. You need a collection of instruments, and you need a collection of truths as well to bring peace to your soul and to mine. Now, this, by the way, runs contrary to what our world around us tends to think about for themselves. We live in the age of the binary. It's either yes or no, black or white, or on and off. And people assume that this is the way it should be with many things in their lives. You need peace? Here, just start doing this one thing and you will solve it. And you can find YouTube videos, you can find clips on television shows like that. You need peace? Here, take this one medication or adjust this one thing in your diet and you will have it. Now, even if there are not professionals out there saying such things, it's my observation that a majority of people believe it. If you just had, fill in the blank, you could have peace. And I'm telling you as a Christian pastor, and to you as a Christian, that you can have peace. As a Christian, I can promise you that you can have peace. But I won't tell you that it is simple as flipping a light switch. You need a collection of truths and even practices to cling to and to follow biblically that will bring peace in your life. Now, so far, we have added to that collection, or that orchestra, to use the metaphor that I've been using, and we've talked about how we're dust. We are simply the created thing of God. We have talked about how we are never really alone, and we have talked about how Jesus has overcome the world. Today, I want to speak just briefly on the subject of sleep as it relates to peace. So here's another truth to add to our collection, sleep as it relates to peace. Now, as we begin, I want to direct your attention to two passages of Scripture. They are both in the Psalms. And as I read them, I want you to listen for the contrasts in them, but also how they complement each other. Contrasts and complements. First, I'm going to read Psalm 121, verses 3 and 4. And you're welcome to pause this and take a Bible out if you'd like to turn there and read it, or just listen in. The psalmist says, "He," and that's God, "he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Now, here's the second passage of Scripture. It's Psalm 4 and verse 8. The psalmist says, "I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." As you listened to those two texts of Scripture, I hope you caught the contrasts and how they complemented each other. Now let's just think about them for a moment. First, note the contrast. In Psalm 121, we are told twice that God does not sleep. He who keeps you will not slumber, and he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Now, of course, the contrast to Psalm 4 is that we do sleep. We lie down in peace and sleep, to use the words of that psalm. Now, if you've been a Christian for a while, the idea that God never sleeps might seem kind of ho-hum, old hat, or kind of a been there, done that sort of thing. But let us just pause and think of the glory of it, and the awesome glory of it at that. The fact is that God does not need sleep. Even when God rested on the Sabbath in Genesis 1 as he created the world, he didn't need the rest. The Lord made the Sabbath for man, not himself. He merely served as an example for us. Sleep is necessary for us, but it is not necessary for God. We need sleep for all sorts of reasons. Over the years, scientists have been finding more and more reasons why our bodies need sleep, and they are truly incredible. A few years ago, I read about a study that seemed to indicate that our sleep actually washes toxins out of our brain. There's fluid in our spinal cord and around our brain that seems to do that. And over the years, scientists have seemed to confirm that data. Now, whether or not that holds to be true in the long run, it's one of the hundreds and hundreds of discoveries on how our sleep is good for us and how much our bodies actually need it. We need sleep for all sorts of reasons. Sleep helps us by storing memories, and it restores our energy. But God doesn't need sleep. There are no toxins in him that he needs to flush out. There are no memories that need to be stored because God never forgets anything. And there is no time ever in which God will run out of energy. The older I get, the more I am amazed at the energy of kids. They seem to be boundless stores of it. They run and run and run and play and play and play. And they absorb information at a much faster rate than I can. But even they run out of energy. A number of years ago, my family was at a family camp and we had bunk beds in our cabin. And my youngest child at the time, she needed to go to bed. She didn't think she needed to go to bed. She was barely just 2 years old and she wanted to be out with everybody else. Well, I volunteered to put her to bed, and she was going to sleep on the bottom bunk. This was new for her, as she had been in either a crib or pack and play until we, just a short time before we had went to this camp. Well, she didn't want to stay on that bottom bunk, but I told her that she could move around, and she could sit up and stand on that bottom bunk as long as she didn't get off. She was just short enough that she could walk on it without hitting her head. I turned off the lights and laid down on my bunk, and she began to wiggle and move around. I knew she was tired. She had those sleepy eyes that little ones get that show that they're tired. But she was determined to go, go, go. So she got up, started running back and forth on that bunk bed. The lights were out. It was fairly dark in the cabin room, and all I could hear was thump, 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 thump as she went to one side, and thump, 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 thump as she went to the other side. This went on for several minutes, thumping back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and all of a sudden it stopped, and it stopped with a thud on the bed, not on the metal, but on the mattress. Now, I was concerned, so I immediately got up, turned the flashlight of my phone on, and discovered that there she was, asleep. She had literally collapsed in the middle of running across that mattress and had fallen asleep. Now, the fact is that she really is like all of us. We need sleep, even if we do not think we do. By contrast, God is not like that. He never sleeps or slumbers. He never gets to that point where his eyes start to glaze over. He never finds himself on the couch dropping his book or phone or drooling a little as he dozes off. Not that I have done any of those things or you have either, right? Never, ever, ever has he done any of those things. He truly has a boundless source of energy, for all the energy of the universe has found its source in him. So, God doesn't need sleep. We do need sleep. We need sleep, Psalm 4:8. God does not need sleep, Psalm 121, 3 and 4. But these two verses don't just contrast each other, they also complement each other. I want you to listen again to Psalm 4:8. Here's what it says. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. In the context of Psalm 4, the psalmist is facing some sort of difficulty. He speaks of it as a distress in verse number 1, and he also speaks of the sons of men who turn my glory to shame. Even more, there is in verse 6 where there were people who were saying around him, who will show us any good? In other words, nobody seemed to be a friend. There was a world full of enemies, but not friends out there. And the psalmist felt that. He cried out to God. He called out to God. And the text seems to indicate that he did this in the evening, Listen to Psalm 4:4. It's a very famous verse because it's picked up and quoted in the New Testament, but here's where it comes from. It says, "Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart," and listen to these words, "on your bed and be still." That word for meditate is literally the word for say. Speak to your heart is what the psalmist is saying here. The context is telling us what we're to speak. Listen to Psalm 4 and verse 3. "But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him." Meditate on that. Speak that to yourself at night. See, the psalmist knew something. He knew he needed sleep, but he also knew that God didn't. So at night, when his mind was racing with all the troubles in his life, he spoke the truth of God to his own heart. He preached to himself, "The Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him." He meditated on that. He preached that. He said that to himself. Now, that meant that the writer of Psalm 4 could go to sleep, because he called on God late into the night, and God was awake. God had not stopped setting him apart for himself just because the psalmist went to sleep. You see, God doesn't stop loving his children or caring for them or treasuring them or protecting them or shielding them just because we sleep. No, he who keeps you will not slumber, Psalm 121. You see, you and I can go to bed knowing that God has not stopped doing all that he has promised, even when we run out of energy and we sleep. Now, let me just put this to you bluntly in terms of what this means. For some of us, sleep is actually an act of faith. Sleep is an act of faith. You say, what do I mean by that? Well, let me give you a couple of examples and then just some general advice based upon this idea of we needing sleep, God doesn't. First, some people believe that they have to do so much that they don't get the sleep that they need. They think they've got so much that they have to get done that they can't sleep like they should. Friends, most of us, and it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not, becoming a Christian doesn't suddenly mean that you need less sleep. Most of us need 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. That's right where I'm at. Others need a little bit less. Others actually need a little bit more. We're all built a little bit differently, and you know and I know what kind of sleep we actually need. For me, I need at least 7 hours of sleep a night. I can manage with less than that for one or two nights, but after the third night of that, I literally cannot function rightly. You can talk to my wife. I will begin to slur words. I become, quite frankly, emotionally unstable. I just get cranky, weepy, tired, irritable, all of those things. I need at least 7 hours of sleep a night. There are people who think that they have to get so much done that they can't sleep like they need to. Friends, I would say you should trust, believe, and have faith in this truth. If you have worked as you should throughout the day, go to bed and know that God will take care of the rest. Now, obviously, there are those emergencies that keep us up now and then, a sick child, a broken pipe in the basement, an emergency at work. But our schedule should not be filled with those. Trust that the Lord will take care of you after you have done what you can and say, "I did what I can. I leave the rest in your hands, Heavenly Father." Second, sleep is an act of faith when you are ready to be entertained, when you're ready to be entertained. You see, there are some people that are so busy with things of entertainment that they are actually not getting the sleep they should because they have so many things they just simply want to do. Now, for some people, that's at 10 o'clock at night when they're watching too much TV or playing a game or reading some fun book that they want to read. But it can also happen at not just 10 o'clock at night, but also 10 a.m. in the morning. Because they spent most of their day flitting about with worthless and useless things, they get toward bedtime and they have all sorts of things they have to get done before the next day. And so they say, I can't sleep. Well, part of an act of faith for such a person is to say something like this. Lord, I need to prioritize what you have told me I need to do. If you're a father, you take care of your wife and your children. If you're a mother, you take care of your children and your husband. And if you have a job, you get done what you need to get done for your job. And when all those things are done and you have honored the Lord in a way that's pleasing to him in all areas of your life, and you've got time left over for relaxation and just a time of joy, great. But if you have not done those things, and then you're pushing off what you have to get done until late at night, friends, you're inviting real destruction in your life. An act of faith for you would be to say, I believe that there are things that God has commanded me to do, and I'm going to work hard on those things so that I can have the sleep that I need. Third, sleep is an act of faith when you're worried. You have a pressure that just keeps running over and over and over in your mind. And I know exactly what that feels like. I've had them many times in my life, and I'm sure I'll have them again. But at some point, we can say, the Lord has set me apart for himself. And we can join with the psalmist and lie down in peace and safety. And maybe you ought to consider that the next time your mind is racing. Now, let me conclude very quickly with five practical helps in this area. Four come from a little book called Zeal Without Burnout by Christopher Ashe. And the last is from me and just my observation and just pastoral training and thinking and ministering over the years. First, give yourself a few quiet minutes each night to look back upon your day. Pray for those people or for those burdens that you're feeling. You can do that with your spouse or your family if you have one. Second, do something that helps you wind down. It's not unspiritual to watch a not too emotionally demanding show or to read a chapter in a book. Sometimes our minds just need to wind down. They need the break. That's not unspiritual to do that. If that helps you to go to sleep, go ahead and do that. Three, keep something near the bed to write something down if you need to. Sometimes I need to put something on my calendar or to make a reminder in the evening. It's a way of saying, okay, I know I have this on my mind, but I have planned to deal with it tomorrow, and the Lord will help me then. Four, end the day looking at a Bible verse that you know, or even one that you began your day with. If you read scripture maybe there was one verse that stuck out to you, reflect on it in the evening as you go to sleep. And fifth, here's the one from me, get some medical help if you need it. Some people can't sleep for a medical reason. Don't be afraid to ask your doctor about that. Even more, if you've got to that place where you have not slept for 2 or 3 days straight because of worry or anxiety, many times you may need to get some medical help because there are physical things that start to kick in that make it hard for us to sleep at that point. That's not an unspiritual thing to say, I need help. And if that's you, please get some. My prayer for you is that you would find peace even tonight as you lie down and sleep. Because the Lord doesn't slumber. He will fight for you as you rest in peaceful sleep. The Lord be with you all. Blessings on the rest of your day and night.